A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Nida Samach Aleph, Nida 61a. Pagination is 121. We'll start on the first line, Masnisin at the Mishnah. Shalosh Noshim, the three women, Shayu Yishenes B'mita, they're sleeping in a bed together. B'mita Achas in the same bed. V'nimtza Dam Tachas Ho'imtzois. And a blood stain is found underneath the middle one. We're in Meseches Nida. And the question over here is that it is a kesem, a stain. And where do we attribute it to coming from if we do attribute it? Is it going to change the status of anyone? Says the Mishnah, in this case, kulan tameos. They're all going to be tame because the stain under the middle one is too close to the outer one and too close to the inner one. They're all going to be tame from this stain. Tachas apnimis, if it's under the inner one, so shtaim apnimios tameos, the innermost one and the middle one, which are the inner ones, are going to be tame. V'achitzona tahor, on the outer one is tahar, not attributable to that one. Tachas achitzona, if it's under the outer one, shtaim achitzonos tameos. The two outer ones are tamei v'apnimis tahora, but it's distant from the inner one, and therefore she remains tahora. When we use the expressions inner and outer, apparently this bed was similar to a bunk bed, where you climb up from the ladder on one side, and therefore there's an outer, that's the spot on the bed that's encountered first, then there's the middle spot, and then there's the third spot, which is the innermost one. And that's the description over here of the three people in the bed. So you have the inner, the middle, and the outer. Says the Mishnah, Emasai, when does this apply? Bizman she'avru derech margolos hamita. If they went in from the foot of the bed, Avalim avru derech aliyah kulan tameos. But if they went in, as I just described, from the ladder, so that they all passed over the outer spot on their way to their locations, so then that last ruling, tachas hachitzona, underneath the outer one, will only affect the outer one and the one next to her, meaning the middle one. But the inner one is safe. That's only true if the inner one did not pass over by coming up the ladder and passing over that outer spot. But if she did pass over the outer spot, then it's equally attributable to her, and they're all in the same boat. Kulan tameos, they're all the same. As I mentioned in last session, the Gemara on this staff is going to ask, why is it that in the previous Mishnah, Samach Amud Beis, we simply said, kulan tameos, they're all tame, three women in the same bed, automatically. And in our Mishnah, we're questioning where they are positioned. And at least in the case where they come in from the foot of the bed and go straight to their location, we're willing to figure out where this kesem stain is attributable to. Why is that different? And as we mentioned, the Gemara answers, you could see it on today's daf, just about midway of the smaller lines, b'mishu lavos, which we understood based on reading the Shulchan Aruch, to mean that in the Mishnah on Samach Amud Beis, they were closely intertwined, perhaps sleeping as such in order to stay warm, and they're very close together, and therefore it's just kulan tameos. Whereas in this Mishnah, we're describing a more roomy, like a double bed, a queen, a king bed, larger situation. They're not on top of each other. even if you don't go extreme, like king, queen of our generation. But there was enough room that they're each in their own spot. So then we would deal with who is it attributable to and the person next to her. But there would be somebody in the scenario of three who would actually remain tahar. The Mishnah continues. Badka achas mehen v'nimtzes tahora. If one of them checks herself and she's tahar, he tahor oshtayim temeos. She is tahar and the other two become the attributable ones to this kesem. We would have to discuss how soon she checks, etc. But that's the idea. It's possible for one of them to exclude herself from the doubt. But kushtayim, if two of them check, umatsu tahoros, hein tahoros ushlishis temeos. So they indeed position themselves with tahar status and will attribute it to the third person who didn't check. Shloshtan umatsu tahoros, but if all three check, kulan temeos, they are all tamei, because the attributable is no longer relevant because they're all in the same boat. And this is similar to the case that we had at the end of last session, Mesulekes Damim, where if you have women who are not likely to see because she's too elderly or she's pregnant, so then we'll attribute it to the other one. But if they're all in the same boat, then we have no way to attribute it, and they're all equally in doubt. L'moha davar doma, the Mishnah says, what can it be compared to? L'gal tamish enesare ben shnei galim tahorim. You have one mound, one area of land that has toma. Something was buried there. Part of a person, a full person, whatever the case is, and there are other two parcels of land that are tahar, we have no concern at all. And now I lost track which one is the tamei one. I come to the fields, I know one of them is a problem, I can't remember which one. Ubadku achas mehen, and they check one of them, umatsa tahar, and there's no trace of any problem. There's no grave here. Hu tahar ushnayim temeyim. So then it is tahar, and we remain with our doubt on the other two. Shnayim umatsu tahorim, if you check two of them, inch by inch, and they're tahar. Heim tahorim ushlishis tamei. We attribute the problem that we remember to the third field that has not been checked. Shloshtan umatsu tahorim, but if you checked all three, and they're all tahar, I can't find any problem. Kulan temeyim divrei Rabbi Meir, they all become tamei according to Rabbi Meir, because you're attributing it to the one unknown where it most likely would be, is no longer available to you, and therefore the same doubt exists by all three, and the Mishnah considers that comparable to the case of the women, where I know there's a problem, I don't know where to betola it, where to hang it, so to speak, and we could have leniency until they all checked, and then there's nothing to attribute it to, and they're all in the same doubt. Based on the fact that the Mishnah raised this topic of checking land for a grave and trying to clarify where the tuma is, the Gemara, towards the bottom of the page, relates that they once had such a doubt, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, a Zaken Echod, was able to identify where the grave was. And the Gemara says on the first of the widest lines, Hu habor shemile Yishmael ben Nesanya chalolim. This is the pit that Yishmael, the one who rebelled against Gedaliah ben Achikam, and therefore we have Tzom Gedaliah, the day after Rosh Hashanah, this was the pit in which he threw all those that he killed. Habor asher hishlech sham Yishmael es kol pigrei hu anashim asher hika biyad Gedaliah. in the hands of Gedalia. Asked the Gemara on the third of the widest lines, V'chi Gedalia Hargan, why are we attributing this to Gedalia? You'll remember a similar question, why the Navi attributes the flood to Noach, ki mei Noach zosli, and we have to explain why Noach is responsible. Here also, why is Gedalia responsible? It was killed through the hand of Gedalia. Falo Yishmael Hargon. Yishmael is the one who killed. Elamitoch shayel alochosh la'atzas. Yochanan, since he should have been concerned with the advice, with the tip-off that was given to him, Velochosh, and Gedalia didn't pay attention because he said, it's Lashon Hara, I don't want to hear. But he was warned about the conspiracy and he didn't take action. He could have protected all those who were slain in that event had he taken precautions. Amar Rava, Rava says, indeed, the rule is, Hailishna Bisha, when you have Lashon Hara, Afal Pi de Kivule Lomi Boy, you're not allowed to accept it as fact. Mechish Lomi Boy, you can be concerned about it. You can protect yourself from it. And that's what the claim against Gedalia was, which is a painful claim, because sometimes we try to be observant and we try to do the mitzvahs correctly, but we're so vulnerable and therefore cautious in trying to get it right that we don't get it right precisely. And therefore, in the name of religiosity, he was careful not to accept Lashon Hara, which he should have, on some level, been concerned about. Let's stop there for advanced. We have insight regarding Moshe as well, that he was concerned that Og was with a special merit, and therefore he was concerned, but he was concerned not like the Meraglim who said, we can't do it, you're not allowed to take it as fact. He was concerned on the level of, what should I do about it in order to make sure that we will be victorious? Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.